Welcome to week four action here at the Student of the Game. They're not a featured team this week, but I'll go ahead and say it and get out of the way. Two remaining undefeated teams. The Bills lost this week to the Bengals in very pathetic fashion. But the Packers are 4-0, and the 4-0 Lions are the other undefeated team. One more time. The 4-0 Lions.
That sounds weird.
This is even more awkward to say than a few years ago when we had to say the Cardinals were in the Super Bowl. But all that nostalgia aside, I'm Kyle, the student of the game. To my right, my always knowledgeable and ready-to-go co-hosts here to bring you the fourth week of action. We went over who the remaining undefeated teams are, but let's go ahead and start talking about the teams that you guys pick out, our feature teams here. We'll lead off with a twofer game here where we have two feature teams playing each other, the New Orleans Saints visiting the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, Blaine Gabbert has officially taken over duties as the starting quarterback.
Duties.
Yes, the intellectual portion of our program weighing in. That's a car wreck within the first 2 minutes of the damn show, seriously?
Woo! Beavis Butthead metaphor right
coming there. Coming back very shortly on MTV, that's right. So Blaine Gabbert getting the start here. 16 of 42 on the day. As the Jags lose this one, I believe it was 16-10. I can't find the score here. 23-10. 16-10, wrong game. 23-10 at home. So Blaine Gabbert had 16 for 42, 38%, 196 yards with a touchdown and an interception. His top receiver, Mike Thomas, with 5 catches for 73 yards. Zach Miller, the new acquisition from the Raiders, made the touchdown catch in the air. On the ground for the Jags as well, Maurice Jones-Drew, the kid they call Mojo.
Hey, that wasn't the Zach Miller from the Raiders. Zach Miller from the Raiders is playing for the Seahawks. This is the other Zach Miller.
Oh, the other Zach Miller. You can see why they would be mixed up. So, in any case, Mojo goes 11 for 84 on the ground, 7.6 a carry. And Blaine Gabbert had a couple carries himself for 14 yards. On the other side of the ball, Drew Brees continues to be Drew Brees, going 31 for 44, 70%. 351 yards, one touchdown, did throw two interceptions on the day. Darren Sproles on the ground, coming up with an excellent contribution there. 7 carries, 475 yards at about 10 a carry. Let's see, and then Mark Ingram had 17 carries as well for 55 yards. Mark Ingram taking a lot more of the load from the for the Saints than I would have thought. Like, yeah, he had 3 yards a carry, 3.2 a carry. But did anybody else see Ingram getting this many carries?
I did.
Well, he's a bigger back.
He is another option. Yeah, that's true.
And Sproles is their third down back. So.
Yeah, exactly. And then their fullback, Jed Collins, carried in a 1 yard touchdown on the day as well. Jimmy Graham, the tight end slash wide receiver, that's what I call him because they seem to line him up as kind of both at times. 10 catches for 132 yards and a touchdown. Big day. Don't know if anyone here has him on his fantasy day, but if he did, that's a good time. Looking a little bit more close at the stats, I think where the domination came in for the Saints, we have the third down completion or conversion percentage. 7 for 14 for the Saints at 50%. 4 for 15 for the Jags, 26%. So they managed to accrue some turnovers, but we're still giving up about 16 minutes in time of possession. So they get the long story short, they get the ball back on turnovers, and we see though that Blaine Gabbert threw less than 40%. Losing quarterbacks often throw less than 50, so that should say plenty in itself right there. Anybody got anything to add on this?
Yeah,
game?
What about the 0-for-4 for fourth down on Jags as well?
Oh yeah, I didn't even look at that, but I would assume that was towards the end of the game. I mean, by that point, the 38% just accents that would be occurring exactly. Noteworthy for the Jags defense, the Saints went 2-for-5 in the red zone. So that's, I mean, the defense showed up and did a lot more than I would have thought. I mean, yeah, the Saints managed to run the ball somewhat solid. They gave up 350 yards, but if you stop the scores, you know, that still says something for you.
And Drew Brees with the touchdown pass, that's 31 consecutive touchdown passes, which moves him to number 2 overall.
31 consecutive games with one touchdown pass. Right. Okay. At least one, right. Anyway, so we're moving on to another game that had another rookie featured against another featured team. Chris.
The Panthers had over 500 yards of offense, but the Bears got help from the punt team, or a punt return for a touchdown and a pick six to win 34-29. Cam Newton, 27-46, 59%, 297 yards, one touchdown, one interception. That interception was returned for 20 yards for a touchdown. For the Bears, Jay Cutler, 9-17, 53%, 102 yards, no touchdowns. He had an interception, and he was sacked once. On the ground, D'Angelo Williams, 10-82, 8.2 average. He did have a long of 26, but still 6.2 is pretty good average for running the ball. Jonathan Absolutely. Stewart, 8-52, 6.5. Cam Newton had 8 rushes for 35 yards as well. For the Bears, Matt Forte had over 200 had 202 yards or 203 yards more this week than he did last week. His total was 205 this week. Last week that made it he had 2.
So he may have been benched.
So he had 25 carries for 205 yards, 8.2 average with a touchdown. And Marion Barber had 5 carries for 17 yards and a touchdown. And then after the touchdown, he tries to do this backflip, and he ended up knowing that he doesn't have not have moves like Jagger.
Because you're not moving like Jagger. Yeah, I thought you were going to add, and one missed backflip in his stats. That's right. Yeah,
he couldn't even come around. It was awful.
However, added to Devin Hester's stats, 3 consecutive somersaults.
We'll get to that later.
That was awesome.
And through there, for the Panthers, Steve Smith, 8-181 yards. Tight end Greg Olsen, 5-50 with a touchdown. Brendan LaFell, 4-42. And for the Bears, Matt Forte led once again for 4 weeks straight with 4 catches with 23 yards, but Johnny Knox had 3-48. So he had a little more yards this time, more than Forte, but Matt Forte still had the most catches. Looking at the stats overall, I mean, Carolina had 24 first downs to the Bears 15. Total yards 543-317. They also had 7 minutes of possession more. Third down conversion.
The Panthers had 7 more minutes.
Yes. Third down conversions, Panthers were 2-12, 17%. Bears were 30%.
That might have a little to do with it.
Changing point in the game, Devin Hester had a 69-yard punt return.
Oh, right.
For a touchdown. It was his 11th career, leads the league of all time. He also had a 73-yard kickoff return to set up a Matt Forte touchdown run. Mm-hmm. Going back to that touchdown that Devin Hester had, he knows he didn't have moves like Jagger, so he did 3 somersaults.
3 somersaults, that's right. I'm not going to move, I'm just going to roll.
And another interesting fact on this right now, the Bears averaged the first 3 games, 73% of their plays have been passing.
Oh,
this
wow.
game, 65% was running the ball, opposed to 27%.
So the Mike Martz offense, who's the offensive coordinator for the Bears, by the way, which is normally signatured by stretching the field vertically, imposing your O-linemen to block more, was changed to a shorter version, and they saw more success because that O-line is weak, as we've commented a lot during the season so far, and they didn't have to block as much. Now, I'm looking up. We have the head coach of the Panthers here, Ron Rivera, former college coach. And apparently he was still coaching in college. Okay, so let's pretend you lived under a rock for 5 years or something and don't know who Devin Hester is yet. He's already run a 73-yarder back on you as a return. Then you kick the ball to him again for the difference-making score in the game. Anybody?
Maybe the punter messed up. Hmm.
Well, it could be a dodge situation.
What was bad
but
about it was the punter line drived it. So
on top of
he
that.
He had plenty of time, and then he just had blocking and just ankle punch, just kick it out of bounds.
And do you have anything in there on the Shockey offensive pass interference call?
No, I didn't have
that. Okay, well, this situation here, Khaki Jeremy Shockey. See, this is how bad this officiating I'm about to talk about it, was, in that I'm defending Khaki Jeremy Shockey. Give me a break. Anyways, so he scored a touchdown. It was basically kind of just a seam route on the inside. He takes off. The D-back engages him. He slaps back to break through. Shockey kind of a physical player. I get that. Runs through, scores a touchdown. Flagged for offensive pass interference. Now, this is an audio rendition. We can't really go over the clip. But it's quite obvious that the D-back initiates the contact. So between stupid punting and that, that's extra points the Bears got to limp by. Now, I know it's only a matter of time before I get emails about how I'm hating on the Bears again. You know what? Deal with it, okay? This is a lot more, blatantly stupid than the whole Calvin Johnson thing was last year, okay? This wasn't even close. And then, well, I can't blame the Bears for stupid coaching on Ron Rivera's part. And I'll admit, I'm a little bit more cheesed because this affected me in my pick'ems this week. More on that later.
Yeah, but Ron Rivera, wasn't he the defense coordinator for San Diego?
He may have been previously.
Yeah, right.
That's where he came from. I mean, I know he coached in college, but right. He was the defense coordinator last year for the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, I didn't really label it too because I wasn't too sure myself. It says here, yeah, he was D coordinator Chargers 2007 to last year. So, previously he's been some other places. He started off coaching in college though. So, in any case. Enough about that poor excuse for ref performances. There'll be plenty of those to come in the game. But let's talk about other poor performances. Weasel, give me the next game.
The Texans at home held off the Steelers with a 17-10 victory. For the Steelers, Big Ben Roethlisberger was 16 of 30, 53%, 206 yards, no touchdowns, 1 INT. He was sacked 5 times. In the running game, Isaac Redman had 6 rushes for 40 yards, 6.7 average. Weldy Moore had 4 for 34, 8.5 average. Rashard Mendenhall only had 9 for 25, 2.8 average, did have a touchdown, and Big Ben had 2 scrambles for 11 yards. In the receiving game, Mike Wallace, 4 catches for 77 yards, Antonio Brown had 5 for 67, Hines Ward had a 19-yard reception, and tight end Heath Miller had 3 for 15. In the special teams, just before the end of the half, the Steelers attempted a 30-yard field goal that was blocked by Texan Daniel Manning. Jonathan Joseph recovered it and ran it for a touchdown, only to have it brought back for a boneheaded penalty by Manning because he laid an illegal block in the back on the kicker when Joseph was already yards ahead of him.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, Swisham, monster tackler.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think he had...
It was like 30 yards downfield. No need to do that.
Swisham, yeah. Monster tackler.
So, no touchdown, and it went right to the half, so they had no chance to get another one at that point, so... For the Texans, Matt Schaub was 14 of 21, 66%, 138 yards, one touchdown, no INTs. He was not sacked. In the rushing game, Arian Foster was back from injury in a big way. He had 30 rushes for 155 yards, 5.2 average with the touchdown. Ben Tate had 2 for 20. In the receiving game, tight end Owen Daniels had 5 for 69. All right. And one touchdown. Andre Johnson had 4 for 36 in the mid-second quarter. Johnson caught a pass and fell forward on his own. It was right from a right hamstring injury that kept him out the rest of the game.
This only the most intellectual comedy on this show right here. Just saying.
Tight end Joel Dressen had a 14-yard reception, and Foster had a 3 for 11. Steelers got the ball down 70-10 with 3:33 left, with good field position at the Houston 48-yard line after a 33-yard return by Steelers returner Antonio Brown. Nothing came of it after a 4-and-out, failing on 4th-and-7. Steelers did their part by forcing a 3-and-out, so the Steelers got the ball back with 1:02 left, pinned at their own 1-yard line, off a punt. First pass was intercepted deep and returned for a touchdown, but was brought back due to a roughing the passer call where Texans rookie defensive end J.J. Watt hit Big Ben below the knees after his throw.
4th time in 2 weeks he's taken a hit like that, too, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it just takes one bad roll on that knee, and it'll be done.
I didn't really have a chance to look at the video on that to determine whether or not it was dirty, but I agreed with the flag that it rendered. I'll put it that way.
Big Ben drove the Steelers to their own 40, then threw a deep pass intended for Antonio Brown that was intercepted by a leaping Texans cornerback Jason Allen.
In fairness, there was like 12 seconds left. They needed something big. No, he rolled the dice. Yeah, it was, you
exactly.
know.
But I think you said, yeah, it was in the red zone.
But, yeah, right. They're adding to the numbers. Well,
but it could have been worse, though. I mean, those two touchdowns came back.
Yep.
Yeah, and you know, for me, I mean, we're back to the place. Did you mention the sacks at all for the team's total?
Five times Big Ben was sacked, and Schaub wasn't.
Zero, correct. Well stated, Weasel. So... the defense, which was once so intimidating with their blitzes from linebackers doing nothing to an offensive line that was much maligned, and now the Steelers' O-line can't even get a damn ground game going. The excuse before was, oh, well, at least they could run block real good. Well, now, I mean, like, Mendenhall, 9 for 25,
he left less than three a game.
Okay. And so we got Isaac Redmond. He's got, I'm taking his long out of 18 yards. That's 5 for 22. That's decent, but...
Picked him up.
I don't know. Picked him up! Yeah. You know, I mean...
Mendenhall, all right, Isaac Redmond's available. Picking him up.
I mean, I see a total of, what is this, 22 carries passing for the Steelers overall? Come on, you know, what? I'm not seeing it. I mean, I think Mike Tomlin has spent too much time preparing for the new season of House on Fox. So since it's premiering tonight, Monday, I believe it's October 3rd, maybe he'll have more time to actually coach his team. See, it's funny because he looks like... I forget the actor's name now, but he looks like that guy
Epps.
On House. Oh. Yes, Omar Epps, thank you. No, wait. Yeah, you're right. Omar Epps.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that aside, gentlemen, it's a very real possibility that the Steelers are going to miss the playoffs. But they have a really weak schedule. Pop quiz on it now. You get the opportunity to take it back if you had them go into the playoffs. Weasel, are they going to make it?
Yeah, they'll make it.
Chris?
No, I still think they'll make it. They're usually, mid-November, December team.
Pretty
so,
resilient.
Yeah. They got the Ravens, but they still got the Browns and the
Bengals.
Bengals,
yeah. I will round out that triumvirate because, for the most part, the schedule is kind of weak. With that being said... Heading over to somebody else who had a particularly weak schedule, at least on this Sunday, we have the Patriots facing off against the Raiders. So, Tom Brady, we have to talk about him, of course, because it's the dang Patriots. By the way, can we stop comparing him to Joe Montana? It's not close. Okay? It's not close. Not you guys. You guys are smarter than that. The NFL media at large. Keeps trying to compare Tom Brady to Joe Montana.
Because they all get a hard on for Brady.
It's not close. One reason alone, gentlemen. Tom Brady, running threat? No. In the 80s, Joe Montana, they would gear for him having to run the football. Just saying.
I thought you were going to say one thing. See Bill's game last week.
Oh, well, there's that. I mean, if we really want to talk about it, even pretty boy Justin Bieber with the Madden-like skills, that with the Madden-like offensive unit there, doesn't have 4 Super Bowl rings either. But
hey, Shannon Owens in the Orlando Sentinel today says Blaine Gabbert's got prettier hair than Brady.
I agree. Anyway, that aside, Tom Brady goes 16 for 30, 53%, 226 yards. With 2 touchdowns on the day. Jason Campbell does a decent job for the Raiders. 25 for 39, 64%, 344 yards with a touchdown and 2 INTs. Might explain the huge gap of 31-19 in favor of the Patriots. Okay, you covered Stephen Ridley?
Yep.
That is...
Stephen?
Weasel, how do you pronounce that?
Stevon.
I like that.
10 for 97.
That's 2 weeks in a row.
That he broke 90 yards, correct. 9.7 a carry with a touchdown. And the firm, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, 16 carries, 75 yards with a touchdown as well.
He's a rookie?
Yes, he is.
Thank you.
Out of what college, Christy? You got that?
I have no idea.
Well, check that out for me.
There we go.
And then Darren McFadden had 14 carries for 75 yards, while Michael Bush had a touchdown on his day where he went 8 for 26. Where's he from?
LSU.
Okay, so Stephen Ridley out of LSU? Yeah, out of LSU. Anyways, the guy you have heard of, Wes the Weapon Welker. Hey, Dolphin fans, should you let him go? I don't think so. 9 catches, 158 yards with a touchdown. End points for Chris.
That gives him 40 receptions on the season.
Leading the league in receptions, as a matter of fact.
Next closest is 27.
27?
Yeah. Yeah, he has a lot more.
Very good reason.
There's like a slew of them at 27.
Well, no. See, I don't think John Madden could do that math in his head, so good job. Deion Branch did have 1 catch for 4 yards, but brought in the other touchdown by Brady in the air on the day. Darius Hayward-Bey headed up the air attack for the Raiders. He caught four catches for 115 yards. And tight end Kevin Boss, finally making an appearance, had four catches for 78 as well. The difference here in this game, very simple. Fewer turnovers, more red zone success. 3 for 4 in the red zone on the day were the Pats, while 2 for 5 for the Raiders in the red zone. However, this victory will be somewhat costly for the Patriots because they lost star defensive player Jerod Mayo. He'll be out for a month with, I believe you said it was an MCL, Weasel?
MCL. Well, I don't think that was confirmed yet, but it could be a sprained MCL, which is like a month.
Yeah, so no, that's a big deal. And I mean, any of those CLs is a real pain in the ass to overcome. You guys got something?
And he was just flicking off Aaron Rodgers because he has the top QB rating.
No, actually, no, I wasn't. He's actually on my fantasy football team.
Well, then he made you a lot of points this week.
No, no, it's because they have, for the offensive leaders, they have passer rating instead of yards.
That is lame. Anyways, we're going to move on from that because we don't want to get into another car wreck. The Giants facing off against the Cardinals. Chris.
The Giants rallied late in the fourth from being down 27-10. That wasn't right, was it? No. What was it? 27-17. Benefited from a controversial call, and the D held the Cardinals to 2-3 and outs to win 31-27. Over the host Arizona Cardinals.
And apparently, during this podcast, Chris is announcing his intention to run for some sort of office because it wasn't controversial. Mess was wrong. We'll get into it in a minute, I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll get into it in a minute. For the Giants, Eli Manning, 27-40, 68%, 321 yards, 2 touchdowns. He lost the fumble, and he was sacked once. The fumble was from the sack, and that led to a Cardinals touchdown. Kevin called 20 of 34, 237, or, hold on, that's not right. What's that percentage? 20 of 34. Someone didn't flip over. 302 oh. yards, no touchdowns. He had an INT, and a fumble. The fumble was deep in Giants territory. He was sacked 4 times.
And 20 of 34 would be 59%.
All right. And on the ground game, Ahmad Bradshaw, 12 for 39, 3.25 with a carry. With the touchdown, sorry. And the Cardinals, Beanie Wells, 27 for 138 with 5.1 a carry with 3 touchdowns. He did have a long of 39, so that would bring it down to 3.81. Through the air, Hakeem Nicks for the Giants, 10 for 162 with a touchdown. Victor Cruz, 6 for 98. Tight end, Jared Ballard, 3 for 33 with a touchdown. Ahmad Bradshaw had 4 for 11, and he lost the fumble, which led to the Cardinals' field goal in the first quarter. For the Cardinals, Larry Fitzgerald, 8 for 102. And that 102 puts him ahead of for the Cardinals for all-time in reception yards and for most games over 100 yards for the Cardinals. And early Doucette at 3 for 42, and Todd Heap had 4 for 41. And the Cardinals had about 4 minutes more of possession than the Giants. Giants had 24 first downs, Cardinals 22. Yards about the same. Turnovers each had 2. Third down, Giants were 46%, and the Cardinals were 25%.
Did you get the red zone?
No, I didn't get the red zone.
3 for 4 for the Giants, 3 for 6 for the Cardinals, so the defense making their impact felt there as well. 3 for 4 for the Giants, 3 for 6 for the Cardinals. Yeah, I did say it right. Good, okay. So, let's get into the call. Is it time for that?
Yeah.
It's time for that. Okay. Kind of describe the situation for us, Chris.
Well, the Giants were down 27-24 with a little over 4 minutes left. They're in their hurry-up offense. Actually, it's less than 4 minutes.
Right.
Hurry-up offense, and throw a pass to Victor Cruz. He shook one guy. He starts heading upfield. He sees both guys coming to him, and so he dove to the ground.
There were 3 defenders. One kind of sat back, 1 to his left, and 1 to his right. So he tried to dive between them, kind of make something happen.
Right.
Right.
And so then once he dove, he just left the ball there and got up. He was going up to hurry up. And ref blew the whistle dead. Cardinals jumped on the ball. And, you know, they tried challenging. Cardinals tried challenging because they said that he was down because, you know, he declared himself down.
That's what the ref said on the field. Okay. So, first of all, what's your take on this? Was this the correct call, or?
By the rule, it's the correct call because he took a dive, He took a dive to declare himself down. He didn't stumble. Some people are like, oh, he stumbled. He saw the guys going down there. Instead of getting tackled, he dove down to the ground. So he kind of declared, if he would have just did like a QB slide like that, they would have called him dead. That, so it's stupid on his part for diving when he could have just slid into it.
Mm-hmm.
For that. And it was his stupid fault for letting go of the ball soon. But the ref did blow the whistle dead then when he got up. And that's when... So I can see it both ways.
So see, but, hearing you calling him stupid implies to me that he did it wrong.
Right. Well, he did it wrong, but according to the rule, I wrote down the rule.
And even aside from the rule, there's past precedent where Eli obviously gave himself up in a game, I believe it was either last year or the year before, where he went head first, gave up a fumble that cost the Giants the game. Very similar right. situation. Difference was, call didn't go in favor of the Giants on that.
But it depends on the official. Though,
exactly.
The rule states an official can declare the ball dead if the runner declares himself down.
Okay, here's the thing about it. That's not what I saw in the video. The dude left and got back up. He left the ball because he's an idiot.
Right.
It looked to me like he was still trying to make something happen.
No, he got up because he's running back to the
I've heard that interpretation. Right. I listened to Mike and Mike as well. They're both wrong, okay? And the part that kills me is how vehemently whoever's the head of NFL officiating defends the refs even when they blow it as badly as they do. But kiddies at home, here's the lesson. If you're going to give up yards, which is sometimes or give yourself up and end a play, which is sometimes a smart thing to do, slide feet first,
please. Right. But then also the official blew the whistle dead before he even got up. Hey, so.
Look, we've already talked right. about officials blowing games already so, early with this whole Panthers Bears thing, okay? Look. You're gonna if your defense was the ref did this.
Right, but I'm just saying they couldn't have overturned it anyway. Because,
oh no, it couldn't be challenged. You're absolutely right about
so
that.
So if he would have waited a minute and then blew the whistle after the Cardinal got and said the Giants ball, it could have been challenged. Then.
Yeah, and I mean that call, and we need to remember that, because the Cowboys lost in a retarded comeback by the Lions that I never would have predicted.
Yeah, down 24 at half.
Speaking of other things that are retarded, down 27-3 in the third quarter, the 49ers topple the Eagles 24-23. Yeah, okay, what? I can't get my homer moments? Mm-hmm. Both of y'all can suck it, okay? But no, the point is, the Giants are in a tie for the division
with the Redskins.
That's weird.
Yeah, anyone else tripped out
Rex
by that?
Grossman.
Now, the Giants played the Skins already, right?
Yep, and they lost.
So that means the Skins are officially at the top of the position.
Yep.
Who would have thought?
Apparently, other than Rex Grossman, no one in this room. I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
It's still early. They still have to play the Eagles twice.
Speaking of teams that I'm very surprised are going 0-4, tell us about our next game, Weasel.
The Vikings remain winless as they lost to the Chiefs at Kansas City 22-17.
See, I could have meant the Chiefs saying that because I'm surprised they would have gone over 0-4 if they did.
Right. Well, the Vikings got the same record as the Lions if you're dyslexic.
Liz Dexie at his finest. And the Chiefs scored the same amount of points, too.
Yep.
Moving on.
For the Vikings, Donovan McNabb was 18 of 30, 60%, 202 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 INT. He was sacked twice. In the running game, Adrian Peterson, 23 rushes for 80 yards, 3.5 average. Percy Harvin had 4 for 67.
I'm glad to see him getting some touches. Because really, I don't know what the Vikings were thinking the first 3 weeks. First two, at least.
In the receiving game, tight end Bishante Shanko had 6 catches for 58 yards. Rookie tight end Kyle Rudolph had 3 for 44. Percy Harvin had 5 for 42. Devin Aromashadu had a 34-yard touchdown reception.
Don't lie to me. You have fun saying the name, don't you?
It's a cool name. Cool last name. Michael Jenkins had a 1-yard touchdown catch. In the passing game for the Chiefs, Matt Castle was 18 of 29, 62%, 260 yards, 1 touchdown, no INTs. He was sacked 3 times. In the running game, Thomas Jones, 11 rushes for 37 yards, 3.4 average. Dexter McCluster had 7 for 26, 3.7 average. Jackie Battle had 5 for 22, and Cassell had 4 scrambles for 20 yards. In the receiving game, Dwayne Bowe, 5 catches for 107 yards and a touchdown. Steve Breston had 4 for 91. And Kerry Colbert had 3 for 33. For the special teams, Chiefs kicker Ryan Suckup was 5 of 5 on field goals with a long of 54 yards.
What a name, Suckup.
It's perfect for a kicker, isn't it? He's always sucking up to the coach, right? No, I
yeah. think he went to. I think he went to South Carolina too.
Suck up was a cock. Seriously. Yeah. Anyways.
No, wait. Well, the Vikings got the ball down 22-17 at their own 15-yard line with 4:07 left in the game off of punts. They drove it to the Chiefs' 41-yard line, but they couldn't convert a 4th-and-10, so the Chiefs got the ball back with 1:38 left. Minnesota had 2 timeouts, but they couldn't stop the Chiefs on a 3rd-and-1 at the 50 because of a successful 2-yard battle run. Game over.
See, if I'm a Vikings fan, I'm not, thank goodness, but if I were, where I'd be frustrated is the Chiefs left opportunities on the table for this game to be taken. They're 0-for-3 in the red zone. Vikings 1-for-3. Defense doing their job. I have to comment on the resurgence of Jared Allen since he got his locks back. Samson ain't got nothing on him. Potentially a heretic. But anyways, you know, I'm a Donovan McNabb guy, and he had a decent game, but yeah.
And I was right. I confirmed it. He did go to South Carolina. So I don't think it was a cock.
Yeah.
Come on. I couldn't even write. Yeah. Really?
It wasn't a joke. You just thought of that.
Yes,
He was thinking.
I was just confirming it. Yes, he was a cock.
Anyways, moving to the next game. Speaking of somebody who would be certainly mentionable in the phrase of Gamecock, Philip the Fraud Rivers faced off against the Dolphins in San Diego. The Chargers would prevail 26-16 over the Dolphins. Now, Chad Henne had to leave the game due to a shoulder injury, but don't worry, before he left, he managed to throw an interception after only 4 attempts. Taking over for him was Matt Moore, formerly of the Panthers, 17-26, 65%, 167 yards, and an interception. Philip the Fraud was 21-for-31, 68%, 307 yards, with a touchdown. On the ground, Ryan Matthews, who once was under threat of being cut by the team, allegedly, carried the ball 16 times for 81 yards at about 5.1 a carry. Mike Tolbert had a touchdown, but a mediocre day otherwise, going 6 carries for 17 yards, but he's a fullback, you know, whatever, we can cut him some slack on that. As a team, the Chargers ran 4.1 per carry. On the ground, 13 for 50 carries for Reggie Bush. And Hilliard? Lex Hilliard? Anyways, a third-year player, 6 carries for 20 yards, did have a touchdown on the ground for the Finns. In the air, Brandon Marshall had 5 catches for 52 yards, but make no mistake, gentlemen, this was some mediocre play from Brandon Marshall. He was out there, he looked completely soft and just, lacking a better term, half-assed. I'm sorry to go Matt Millen on you, but I couldn't think of a better way to describe it, just because if you're a Dolphin fan, I was watching a game with 2 Dolphin fans, and to watch the infuriation at the complete lack of effort by their top receiver. You know. You guys got something, or?
Yeah, no, we can wait till after this.
Okay. Vincent Jackson had a big day, going 3 catches for 108 yards, had a touchdown on the day on a long throw, and then Ryan Matthews again making a big deal in the air, 5 catches for 68 yards. Overall, the difference as I have it here, the Dolphins had 3-for-10 on third down conversions, while the Chargers converted half at 7-for-14. So we talked about this in Pick'ems last week. I believe we all unanimously picked the Chargers to win this as a game that this is the kind of team that Philip Rivers puts up big numbers on. They don't have an offense. They lost their starting quarterback. Still, we're only 1-for-4 in the red zone against this team. So again, like the Vikings, we're dealing with another situation where the defense is playing their tails off, but the offense is not delivering.
I'm sorry, how many interceptions did Philip Rivers have? None. That's right. It's his first game this year with no interceptions.
Interesting. Yeah. Right after popped up the Dolphins' defense.
Fun fact, yeah, he leads the league with 6 interceptions thrown through the year.
Well, Chris, if you wish to call him a fraud, why don't you just say so?
Right. Anyway. You know who's number 3?
Who is number 3 in interceptions?
Golden boy.
Tom Brady?
Yes.
Well, that's on the strength of one game, though. I mean, four of them were in one game. It is 5 on the year. Yeah. I mean, that's still funny. Don't get me wrong, but...
Most sack quarterback is Sam Bradford with 18.
18, that's
Jay Cutler second with 15.
Of course.
Which, I mean, hey, well, we'll leave all that.
At least Jay Cutler is second in then something.
Anyways, not that I have a problem with this intellectual action, Let's go ahead and move into our picks for this week, gentlemen.
All right, going from last week, me and Weasel were 5-2. You were 4-3. So
put
I
an asterisk by that, damn it, because that Panther game was right. The only place where they didn't win was the score. And probably special teams.
Yes, special teams, definitely. So I have a 2-game lead over you now and a 3-game lead still over Weasel.
But Weasel's about ready to neutralize all that because I believe he has the Colts tonight.
Colts
yes,
winning.
He has the Colts, and we both have the Bucks.
So basically, after all this, if things go the way that...
Tied or two up on him.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah, Weasel might gain 2 games on me if he happens to be right. But all in all, if Weasel does miss this, all I really ended up doing was losing a game to you.
Yep.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an early season.
Yeah, I know, but refs still suck. Move on. Let's go.
So, all right. We got our first bye week team. Finns are on a bye. Thank God they'll probably still lose.
I got the bye on this one. Weasel.
I still got a spread of firing. First game, Saints at Panthers.
Yeah, this is difficult. I don't know. I should have picked one of you guys to go first on this game.
I'll go
but
first. I got the
no,
Saints on it.
I was just about to go there, too. I got the Saints, too, simply because I like Cam Newton. I didn't during the draft. He's made me look really stupid. Dude's got over 1,200 yards in the first 4 weeks.
Number 3 in yards for quarterbacks.
Damn. But Breeze just has a little bit more. Both defenses are comparatively mediocre. The Panthers have Steve Smith and Greg Olsen. The Saints have a lot more. Weasel.
Panthers.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
All right, man.
Getting the game back.
No, and I'll tell you, if you get this one, I'll give you your props on that because I thought about it.
Yeah, I did a little bit too, but you know what? They're throwing footballs and not laptops, so I got the
Saints. Ooh, that's a Cam Newton burn. Next game.
This is a tough one. Cardinals and Vikings.
Weasel.
It's at Vikings?
It's at Vikings.
It's in Minneapolis.
Burned me so much. Looks like Urizo would bet for the Vikings again. It didn't work out so well for him.
Inside joke.
let's see. Vikings, why not?
Chris.
You know, I'm debating on this one because I don't see the Vikings going 0-5. It's the only reason I'm considering that. But Cardinals play strong against the Giants. So I'm going to go with the Cardinals as well.
So you picked the Cardinals.
Yeah, I got the Cardinals.
I was about to say, Weasel said, this is a tough one. No, it's not. Cardinals. Next game.
Oh, man.
Seahawks at Giants.
Hey, if I get it wrong, you can talk crap this week, but I thought that was funny. I'm sorry.
Man.
What do you got?
I'm going to go Homer and go Giants. But I just don't think Seahawks got it. with T-Jack.
It's a little rough because the Giants are who they are and they can't make up their mind on offense. But Osimhen, Umenyura, and Justin Tucker are going to be a little hungry. They're going to eat on a prime slab of T-Jack. Weasel.
Got Giants.
You're picking against your boy, T-Jack.
Whatever.
From Kent State. No, inside joke. Anyways.
Titans at Steelers.
This could be a trap. It's a trap! No,
Titans beat the Ravens.
They did. They did. And the Titans will be rare. Yeah,
the Ravens made the Jets look like a middle school team yesterday.
Well, and both teams did look like middle schoolers.
Yeah.
I mean, let's call it what it is. It's not like the Falcons offense. Flacco went 10 for 31.
Yeah, there was one touchdown. One offensive touchdown the whole game.
Exactly.
The score was, what, 31-17?
So, I mean, yeah, that game was complete trash in the first place. But keeping back on track, Steelers-Titans. They're probably going to make me pay for it, but I got to go Steelers at this point. I don't think Hasselbeck has enough. And I still don't know how they beat the Ravens, I'll grant. But, Weasel.
Hasselbeck doesn't have a good history against the Steelers.
Correct.
Steelers. That was a blown call in the Super Bowl, David. That was a touchdown.
Whatever.
It really was.
Forearm extended. Just saying.
Dude,
are you done?
All the time. So, you know, Wikipedia, Michael Irvin, he's the father of push-off.
So, okay, so we're all the Steelers
on there. Basically,
yeah,
I'm going with Steelers because, you know, Steelers are going to shut down Chris Johnson.
And Kenny Britt
Kenny Britt's out.
Yeah.
So, I got the Steelers. Next one, this one's a tough one. Bengals and Jags.
No, it's not. Jags. Weasel.
Bengals.
Dare to be different.
Yeah.
This week's going to be rough.
Surprisingly, the Bengals defense is how good it's been this year.
The Jags have had a decent defensive
right,
year as well.
And the Jags defense is probably the best.
Two rookies at quarterback, but, I mean, the Bengals do have a good receiver squad. But they don't have mojo.
Right.
So.
I got the Jags in this one as well.
Hey.
Oh, we're looking to gain some damn ground in this week.
Chiefs at Colts.
I was trying to be optimistic. Chiefs at Colts. This is the toughest game so far, period, in my opinion. I'm not picking it first. Weasel.
Chiefs.
Chris.
Yeah. You know what? I got the Chiefs also. I just don't think the Colts. I don't think the Colts can do it.
After barely scratching their way past the Vikings. Yeah, I still got the Chiefs. Never mind. Next game.
The Bucks at the Niners.
Oh, God. Chris.
You know, I like what Harbaugh's done with the Niners. I got the Niners.
Weasel.
I take the Niners.
I don't like what Harbaugh's done with the Niners. I still got the Niners. I miss Manny Lawson.
Hey, we can say it for once. All right.
Yeah.
Hey, man, it's the first time in the wall. I haven't picked against them. I'm going front.
Jets at the Pats.
Oh, wow. See, I think Nick Mangold will still be missing.
Yes, he is. He's out 3 more weeks.
But Jared Mayo will also be out. So what the heck do you do here? I mean, who's going to stop Vince Wilfork? Who's going to... I got the Pats. Weasel.
Pats.
Chris.
I got the Pats as well.
Damn, okay.
And then Monday night, Bears at Lions.
I'm going to do it. I don't care if they run the ball or if they have a shorter offensive game plan. Ndamukong Suh messed up a trash can last week. I got the Lions. Weasel.
I get the Lions.
No, I get the Lions as well. I think Nick Farrelly will be back for this game.
Oh.
He started practicing last week. Came back last Friday. So he's had 2 weeks out of there. He might be back for this one. And I'd love to see him and Ndamukong Suh.
Oh, that would be special. That would be special.
And then with the Bears missing both offensive starting guards, Cutler's going to be number one on the sack list.
Or at least for that week.
Yeah.
And that is it.
Yeah, when we Van den Bosch and Sue are ridiculous by themselves, add Fairley into the mix, it's going to be pretty awful. Wow. After hearing that list, next week's going to be pretty special.
Right.
Woo, that's an amazing list, man. How many differences we got in there?
3. Me and you picked the same exact games again.
Dang it!
I'm gonna
so,
like,
so he's
really
got 3
different.
So he can either fall really back or he can be tied with me next week.
Yes.
Well, based on what tonight is.
Yes.
No, I'm screwed.
If he wins tonight, he can be 1 up on me. But then again,
See, weeks like this and getting screwed over by the Panther game is why I hate pick'em. Anyways, things we don't hate, you guys.
Please look at 9-0.
Right? Things we don't hate, you guys checking in on us. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. You can check us out on the website directly, www.thestoonofthegame.com. Go ahead and leave a comment there if you'd like. Shoot us an email, the SOD.